Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
Praise God. Everybody has an outline. Make sure you have an outline. Oh, good. You know, I'm sitting because, boy, I tell you what, my legs are tired today for some reason. But you know, we're living in a time, people, that if the enemy could get us our focus off of God, he'll do it. He'll find every way he can to distract us from keeping our focus on God. And he's so deceiving to believe a lie. And that's how he works. He works as an angel of light, you know. I remember somebody saying a long time ago, I listened to them say this, and they made the statement, said, you know, the devil mixes a little bit of truth. No, he doesn't. Don't buy that. He mixes no truth. Because Jesus said there is no truth in him. He doesn't mix a little truth. He twists the truth, but he doesn't mix truth because he doesn't believe in truth. So in him, there's no truth whatsoever. It's all deception and a lie. But, you know, Jesus said something in Matthew, in the last days, many hearts would wax cold and people would be offended at this and that. And, you know, you think the offense is bad now, in a sense. Wait till the tribulation period when people really get offended and people are delivering people up to death. Because they don't want to die, so the offense rate. But offense in the church should not be. Now, every one of us in this place have every reason in the world to be offended at something. Come on. We've been hurt. We've been wounded. We've been talked about. There's so many things that we grow up in life as we grow up. We have every reason to be mad and upset and unforgiving. But Jesus says we can't do that. Amen? We just can't do it because it'll destroy our lives. And we'll never have the blessings of God like we need them in our life. But we can't allow the life struggles offend us. And it's easy to. I'm not talking just about people. I'm talking about everyday living, that it can be so easy just to be offended at God or offended because things just ain't working out the way they should. And the enemy wants to get in there and say, well, where's your God now? Where's your God now? Why isn't he helping you? He must be mad at you. And the devil just throws all this garbage in our heads. But have you ever gotten offended when trouble hits your life? Have you ever said to yourself, this should not be happening to me. I have. This should not be happening to me. And if we get in that mode, it's not about just saying it. It's if we get into that mode and we allow the enemy to get in there and get a foothold, it can turn to offense. And these things can happen in our lives. And that is one of the greatest tools that Satan has, is to rob us of the blessings of God, is offense. And we're living in a time that we really have to guard our hearts. We really have to guard our hearts. He uses offense to lure us into bitterness, resentment, hatred, and unforgiveness. And these things, people, will stop our spiritual growth. And you talk about depression, they'll make your life miserable and depressed. And I've shared many stories about unforgiveness and things in my life that being so angry because somebody owed me money and they ripped me off and he was a Christian, supposedly a Christian brother in the Lord, and losing all this money to him, I got bitter, I got angry, and I got offended at this person. And when the Lord would deal with my heart and say, you got to forgive him, I said, I ain't forgiven him. That's a bad place to be. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, I'm arguing with God and saying, God, the man owes me money. He goes to the same church I go to. And it wasn't just me, it was everybody in the company. And anyway, when I went to church one Sunday, and like I said, I was sitting in the back, and the devil had just had me. I was just so angry and so bitter. And finally, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you to go up there. He went up front for prayer for something. In a real quick instance, I said, what a hypocrite. I hope God strikes him down right up front there. I'm thinking this in my heart. That's how mad I was, bitter. I was thinking every wicked thing to get even, and I'm calling myself a Christian? At that moment, I said, you know what? That's all right, Lord. I'm not a Christian right now. But the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he told me. He said, I want you to go up and release all that money and tell him he doesn't owe you anything. I said, Lord, you go and tell him. I don't want to go tell him. But there was something that happened when I got up out of the chair. I swallowed my pride, and I just said, okay, I'm going to do this. And I got up out of the chair, and I walked down front, and I walked up to my boss, former boss, and I looked him in the eye, and I said, I'm releasing every debt you owe me. And I'm going to tell you, a miracle happened. The power of God came on me, and all that bitterness left me. It was gone in an instant. No more bitterness, no more offense. And I looked at him, and tears came to my eyes, and I said, I forgive you. And I released that debt. And I walked back to my seat, a free man. A free man. He wasn't free, but I was free. And I learned something that day that now I don't let it get that far. Because I know how the enemy can put a root. Remember, Hebrews said a root of bitterness. When a root gets, there's some people that'll never get over it in their life. They'll die with bitterness in their heart if they don't let it go. But when you let a root of bitterness grow into a whole oak tree, whatever, it's really hard to get rid of it. That's why Jesus said to forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. Not allow offense to come into your lives. Now, what is offense? I looked up the word, and it's a word that means scandalizo, which is like scandalize. Have you ever been scandalized? You know, but it's a little bit different. It means to give offense to. It means to having bad, ill feelings. It's just hard to let them go because you're just mad. You're mad because everything's just not going the way you think it should go. And you're mad because it's just not working out. And we've all been there. And it's easy for the enemy to bring offense into your heart. And it's not about being mad at God. It's just being mad, period, in life, at life in general, and being offended at this. Because what it does then is it keeps your heart from moving forward in God. It means to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey, to cause somebody to fall away. It means to see in another what I disapprove of and what hinders me from acknowledging his authority. You might have had a boss or somebody that just rubbed you the wrong way and you got offended by it. But yet, at the same time, he's your boss. And the thing is, you have to honor and respect him, whether you agree or disagree. It can be something as easy as that. It means to cause one to judge unfavorably or unjustly of another. It means to begin to judge somebody and to begin to criticize them, and you hold that offense of that person, being critical of that person and judgmental of that person. And it also means to be displeased. It's weird, but it means just to live a life of being displeased. And that is nothing more than offense in our lives. Grudges are a waste of perfect happiness. Laugh when you can, apologize when you should, and let go of what you can't change. Isn't that the truth? That is so true. John 6:61, let's look at this, people. But Jesus, knowing within himself, I mean, he talked about walking in the Spirit. Now, remember the 70 disciples came to him, and he was talking about being the bread of life. If you don't eat the bread and drink his blood, you're no part of him. And I mean, he just went down the line, and these people got offended. 70 walked away from him. He looked at the disciples. Are you going to leave me too? He said, because of this hard work. And this is what Jesus said. I like this. He said this, but Jesus, knowing within himself that his disciples were complaining and protesting and grumbling about it, said to them, is this a stumbling block and an offense to you? Does this upset and displease and shock and scandalize you? Wow. The enemy would love for us to get offended by trials in our lives or even at someone for the words they may have spoken to us and stumble or fall away from our relationship with God. This is what the enemy would like to do. And so when Jesus looked at him, he knew what they were complaining and being bitter and everything else. And that was a part of being offended. That thing could turn to unforgiveness. Offense could turn to unforgiveness about the whole thing. It'd be like somebody coming to you and bringing correction in your life or something like that. And you get mad at them. And you basically just push them away out of your life. Because you feel like, you know what, I don't want to listen to it. Well, I want to share a story with you about a king that when you read in the Chronicles about all the kings, King Asa was one of the major ones that took all the idols down in the poles, Asherah poles, and all these things when he became king, when all the other kings were as wicked as could be. But let's go through this and read this. I didn't put it under because it was a little bit longer, but 2 Chronicles. And this is interesting. It says, over in Israel, the old idol temples were not removed. But here in Judah and Benjamin, the heart of King Asa was perfect before God throughout his lifetime. Isn't God so gracious? But King Asa did everything. I mean, he destroyed. He even removed his own mother from the throne. Because she had made an idol that was just wicked. But he removed all the idols, did everything, brought all the gold, brought everything back into the temple, began to restore worship back in the temple, did everything right that he was supposed to do. And God spoke this of him. Verse 18, he brought back into the temple the silver and gold bowls that he and his father had dedicated to the Lord. So there was no more war until the 35th year of King Asa's reign. Now, most kings had war because they weren't living for God. And you talk about having warfare in your life when you're not serving the Lord, there's always a lot of warfare happening. 2 Chronicles 16. So it leaves that chapter and it goes into the next one. In the 36th year of King Asa's reign, King Baasha of Israel declared war on him and built the fortress of Ramah in order to control the road to Judah. Asa's response was to take the silver and gold from the temple and from the palace, which he should have never done, and to send it to King Ben-Hadad of Syria at Damascus with this message: let us renew the mutual security pact that there was between your father and my father. See, here is silver and gold to induce you to break your alliance with the King Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone. Ben-Hadad agreed to King Asa's request and mobilized his armies to attack Israel. They destroyed the cities of Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the supply centers of Naphtali. As soon as King Baasha of Israel heard what was happening, he discontinued building Ramah and gave up his plan to attack Judah. Now, you'd think, what was wrong with that? What's wrong with that? The king's just trying to reinforce. But do you realize who he reinforced it with? Now, that wouldn't have made any difference. But verse 6, then King Asa and the people of Judah went out to Ramah and carried away the building stones and timbers and used them to build Geba and Mizpah instead. About that time, the prophet Hanani came to King Asa and told him this. And God told him, tell him this. Because you have put your trust in the king of Syria instead of in the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped from you. Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and the Libyans and their vast army with all their chariots and cavalrymen? But you relied then on the Lord, and he delivered them all into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord search back and forth across the whole earth, looking for people whose hearts are perfect towards him, so that he can show his great power in helping them. What a fool you have been. That's gutsy for a prophet to tell a king that. You never told a king bad news, but there's the prophets that did it. From now on, you shall have wars. Now look at verse 10. Asa was so angry with the prophet for saying this that he threw him in jail. And Asa oppressed all the people at that time. You know what? He took his offense. He took his anger out on everybody else instead of take responsibility for what the Lord told him. So he got mad and he got offended right there. The rest of the biography of Asa is written in the annals of the kings of Israel and Judah. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became seriously diseased in his feet, but he didn't go to the Lord with the problem, but to the what? There's nothing wrong with doctors. But he got offended, got mad. Instead of trusting the Lord for his healing like everybody else did, he said, I'll just forget God and I'll just go to the doctors. So he died in the 41st year of his reign and was buried in his own vault. Now notice this. He was buried in his own vault that he had honed out for himself in Jerusalem. It was like this. He said, you know what? I'm just not going to let anybody bury me with all the other kings, because every one of the kings that died were buried in a certain place. He was so offended that he said, you know what? I'll just do my own thing. I'll hew my own rock, and I'll just be buried in this. And that's how he died. Because the prophet spoke to him, and he got angry because someone would dare to tell him what God had said. King Asa was doing all that was right with his God. He was obedient in everything. But when trouble began to confront him, instead of trusting God to help him, he trusted in the arm of flesh. When confronted by the prophet about his distrust in the Lord, he got offended. He never got over the offense and never trusted God, but trusted in himself. And he did it himself. Sometimes when things are not going well, you're tempted to think, why God, why God? Why don't always, sometimes we don't understand everything. We don't always figure everything out or know why. But we have to trust God. We still got to trust God. Sometimes people's decisions affect us negatively, or we make unwise choices that hurts us. Satan works hard to prevent us from walking in God's plans for our lives. That's what the devil wants to do. Just like King Asa doing everything right and getting offended on a point because the prophet brought correction in his life. Well, I don't want nothing to do with that prophet. You throw him in prison, let him rot. I'll just make everybody else's life miserable. They're not going to do that to me. And we get on a defense mode and we begin to become very defensive, instead of repenting and humbling ourselves before the Lord. Now the Lord tells us in John 16:33, let's look at this. I have told you all this so that you will have peace of heart and mind. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but cheer up, for I have overcome the world. And I like what the Amplified says. It says, so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. You know, outside of that realm and unforgiveness and offense, there is no peace. There's just no peace. That devil will dog you and haunt you for the rest of your life if you don't let that go. So that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulations and trials, distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So people, you are more than conquerors in Christ, no matter what comes your way. Amen? No matter what the enemy tries to put on you, you are more than a conqueror in Christ. And I looked up the word undaunted. It means not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty. You're not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, so you're not going to allow the enemy to bring offense into your life. Well, God's not, the enemy will whisper, God's not hearing your prayers. You've been praying and praying. Why pray to God? Nothing's happening. And all of a sudden, you just start to think about it, and he puts that thought in your head, and all of a sudden, you're going, when trials and tribulations come our way, the greatest thing we can possibly do is trust God, because it's the answer to every single problem we have. And it's God. So when something's not going our way, instead of getting offended, we can trust that he has a plan and a purpose that's better than mine. And he will ultimately work out the situation for good. There's many times, people, that you know that when things were not working out, and we sometimes try to push the door open, and that door doesn't open. That's when we got to back off and say, you know what, Lord, I don't understand why this is happening, why this isn't working, why this isn't going my way, but I have to trust in you that you have something better for me. Why settle for an Ishmael when you can have an Isaac? Amen? Why settle for less when you can have the best? And that's when we have to trust the Lord and not get angry and upset and offended because it's not going the way you think it should go. Now, let me throw this out. How many have ever gotten mad and offended at one time and you said, I'll just do it myself? Me. My wife would sit here and tell you all the stories. Lord, he's going to do it again. We all have some time in our life said, you know what, I'll just do it myself. That's what King Asa did. No one's going to tell me what to do. No way. There ain't no people, no prophet, no nothing's going to tell me what I can do and what I can't do. How's that working out? That's what the prophet should have said to King. How's that working out, King? He opened up the door for the enemy to bring that sickness and garbage on his life. When God would have... He'd have delivered him even through the wars. God was so good that God, if he would have repented, God would have just turned it around anyway. But he didn't let God do anything. He just got mad. And we've done that. Well, I'll just forget it. I'll just do it myself. Romans 8:28. We are assured and know that God being a partner. Everybody say partner. If he's my partner, then he's got half that he's got to take care of it, man. Being a partner in the labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those. For those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. If you are called of God and you are a Christian, remember this. All those things are fitting into his plans. They may not look like it. They may not seem like it. They may seem like everything's falling apart. Things are not going together. And you got to step back and say, Lord, I know, I don't understand, but I do know this, that all this fits into the plan and purpose. See, God knows the past, the present, and the future. He already knows your life from before the foundation of the world. Why is it so hard for me to trust him? Amen. Why? When he already knows the past, present, and future, I should say, Lord, you already know that all things are going to work for the good of me in the plans that you have for me if I'll just trust you. But what do? Well, we get mad, we get offended, and say, well, I'll just do it myself. I'll take my marbles and I'll go home. Sometimes when we're having trouble, we can even get offended at other people who are being blessed. Well, why is so-and-so always getting blessed? Man alive, they ain't no better than me. No one said they was. Oh, God. They're blessed all the time, and I'm struggling, and I'm fighting for this, I'm fighting for that. And why are they blessed? I mean, those people are just as crooked as the day is long. We've never done that. Just me. Well, Lord, why are they blessed? My golly, I'm out here, I'm doing this, and I'm doing all this for you. And all of a sudden, we get into that old mode. Get out of it. Get out of it and keep praying blessings on them. Amen? Just bless them anyway. Just bless them. When in doubt, bless. Right? Bless them. Well, Jesus said, blessed are those that persecute. Bless them that persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. He said to bless them, not curse them. We want to curse them. Why? Because if we curse them, that curse can turn on us. But when we bless them, we get the same blessing that we send out. So let's look at this. You want a promotion at work, but someone else receives it instead of you. Come on. Does this hit anybody? Why did he get the promotion? I've been here longer than that person, and they got the promotion. I'll never forget when I was working in Fort Collins for this company. I was a foreman for quite a few years, and the supervisor job was open. And I had kind of wanted that job. All I had to do was drive around to all the jobs, deliver stuff and stuff like that, you know. And I thought, yeah, I've been here a long time. I could be a I'm in with the bosses and them, and I can get this job. Instead, they gave it to a guy that didn't know anything about anything, and he got the job. And I went into the office, which I shouldn't have done, and I said, Bruce, why did he get the job? I said, he doesn't even know anything about painting or nothing. He come on the job one time, and I said, he didn't even know anything that was going on. And I said, why? Well, he said, I didn't know you wanted it. I'd have gave it to you. Oh, I guess I didn't ask. But there was something about him I didn't trust. I said, there's something about this guy I don't trust. Well, what they found out later, they fired him because he was not even doing his job. He was going to a friend's house, and they were going out and getting high and partying and everything else and neglecting all the jobs. And I had told him, I said, there's something about this guy I don't understand. I don't know. And I said, but it wasn't about that. It was about my heart wanting and being critical of this person. I was wrong, not him. It was me that was wrong, and the Lord dealt with me on it, and I had to straighten up. I never did pursue that job again. I just let it go. But the thing is, these are some of the things that can happen because we feel like they belong to us, and the next thing you know, we're mad about it. But when this happens, just trust God anyway. Lord, if this is where you want me to be right now, then I'm going to serve my boss with a smile on my face. I know that if you want to put me somewhere else, you can do it in your way and in your timing. God knows what he's doing. You just have to trust him. God doesn't always give us what we want because he may have a different purpose in mind, something better that we could have never imagined, something way better, if we'll just wait on the Lord. And I know a lot of people have been, I've talked to a lot of people, they've been, everybody else got the promotions except them. Just keep praying. Lord, I'm just still going to serve with a good heart and a right heart because you may have something way better for me. Does that make sense? We trust the Lord. When you go through hard times, we experience what others are going through so we can relate to their pain and help them get through it successfully, themselves. Look at James 1:2. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience all the joy that you can. Oh, come on. Come on, Lord. James, why'd you put that in there? Now, you got it all turned around, James. Listen, James. Listen to what I'm telling you. You got it wrong. No, that's what he said. It seems as though you're facing nothing but difficulty. See it as an invaluable opportunity to experience all the joy you can. Well, how am I going to experience joy going through all this? That's the whole reason why. You can be bitter, mad, and offended, or you can release the joy in your life and have joy because it's already in you with the Holy Spirit and Jesus himself. But you have to read this, the next verse. For you know, what do I know? That when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. Instead of complaining about it, start thanking God for a way through it and just say, Lord, it's by your grace, by your mercy, and your power that I'm going to get through this thing in my life. Let's read on. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection, which means maturity, into every part of your being until there's nothing missing and nothing lacking. So it seems like when we go through a trial or a test, we seem to go around that same mountain over and over and over again. How do you stop that? You didn't pass the test the first time. I'm tired of going through the same test. Israel went in the wilderness 40 years. You figured they'd pass the test when it only took 2 weeks to get across the desert. 40 years of wandering because they just wouldn't listen to the Lord. And there's people that get in a cycle, and they get in that cycle, and it goes on and on and on and on, and nothing ever breaks it unless they break it. It can be a generational curse, but if you don't break that curse, it's going to break you. And so we see this. James is talking about this. He said, take the opportunity to allow this that you're going through to bring that joy and the power and the anointing inside of you out so that you get stronger in that area. We negate it by being angry and mad or offended, and we just, next time we got to go through it again. We get angry again. Next time you got to go through it again. And we never learn to trust the Lord and look at it from a different perspective. You know, you're not a problem to me. You're an opportunity for me. God's going to work in this situation. I'm going to put my trust in him, and God's going to turn this thing around. And if he doesn't turn it around, he's going to turn me around through this process. Amen? And so it's how we see it, knowing this, that all these things that are testing your faith are to bring maturity in every area of your life. See, God uses sufferings, even if he's not the originator of them, to help us to grow spiritually, because he knows it will eventually bring out the best in us. God wants us to become stable, mature, to reach the point where we're not blown over by every storm that hits us. He wants us to have joy and contentment in him, even when our circumstances aren't perfect. We were never promised a trouble-free life. How many figured that out? I just figured it out last night, you know? No. That old country song, "I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden." Roses are beautiful. We have roses in our lives, but sometimes those thorns get away. We were never promised a trouble-free life, but we can take comfort knowing this, people, that God loves us tremendously. He has his eye on us, and he is already working behind the scenes to help you and I. Let me close with this last scripture. It says in Psalms 33:18, "The eyes of the Lord are upon even the weakest worshipers who love him, those who wait in hope and expectation for the strong, steady love of God." We don't understand it all. We don't know why. But when we understand that God is in, behind, in the front, in the midst of everything we deal with, trust God. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. And listen, are we all going to get mad and angry? Yes, we're still going to, because it's a growing process that doesn't happen overnight. But as we change our minds and how we deal with things, that's when the healing issue will start. That's when things will begin to change in our lives. If you're offended at somebody, let it go. You know what I found out, people? It's not based on the pain. It's based on the commandment. Some of you have been through some painful experiences. And you understand what it's like to be mad at somebody and bitter and angry. We've all been there. But here's the thing. We've had to learn to release and let it go so that we know that if we don't, it'll destroy us. But when we by faith, by the commandment of the Lord, forgive, it's not based on my emotions. It's based on his word. He told me to do it. Well, Lord, I don't feel like it. Well, it's not about feelings. It's about doing what God said. When you take a step of faith and you release and let that go and forgive that person or forgive that thing, what happens is then God steps into the picture, and then the healing process begins to take place. It'll take place. It happens. Right, Karen? Right. Come on up here. I want you to share a little bit. You shared it before, but they need to hear this, what God did in this. See, did that the Lord?
I started coming to this church for my two little babies, and then once I got here, I knew I was supposed to be here. The trouble was, my dad went here. Hadn't seen him in 30 years, hadn't spoken. I was bitter, I was angry, I was mad. I hated him. I'm just going to be honest. And I still, after all those years, was just, still had that feeling for him. Well, I walked in the back of the church one day, and he was standing in the back there, handing out his peppermints. And I walked up, and he just grabbed a hold of me, put his arms around me, and I didn't know what to do. But you know what happened? In an instant, a feeling washed over me. Was nothing, everything was gone. The bitterness, the resentment, the hatred, it was all gone. Everything he had done through my childhood was washed away, and I forgave him so quickly. I didn't count on that happening, and it didn't have anything to do with me. It was all God. It was a miracle. It was nothing less than a miracle that God had that happen, that immediately I just felt it just from the top of my head to the tips of my feet washed away. And God will surprise us when we least expect it. I wasn't expecting to forgive my dad that day, but God showed up and washed it away. All was forgiven.
Amen.
Praise God. What a story. Thank you, Karen. 30 years. Karen, I have to admit something to you. I remember before you even came to this church, I knew that you were so angry and bitter, and I thought, I remember you coming over one time in the house, and I'm going, this is what I thought, oh my golly, I got to deal with this. Because I saw all the anger and the bitterness. But then when a miracle happened, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable what God did. God has a way of setting you up. Yeah. Right. But God has a way of setting us up. Listen, it has to be God anyway. How many know that? I mean, that's when you need God. This is what you should pray. You say, Jesus, you're just going to have to give me the strength to do what I need to do. And when I do it, I'm doing it by faith. I'm doing it because you told me. And I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. And when you do that, you watch what God will do. I'm not kidding you. That's what happened to me with this guy when I walked up. That all left me right there. Because I was obedient. See, when we take a step to say yes, God says, now I can step in and I can bring healing and restoration in your life. But until then, we'll keep going like this until we break it. Until we break it. So listen, no matter what we face, people, no matter what we're going through, remember this. Don't let the devil use that little thing. See, it's the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines. It's the little tiny things that the enemy, he doesn't bring big things. He brings tiny things so that he can get you to bite on it and entice you to grab a hold of it. And all of a sudden, you get it in your mind and you start to dwell on it. And you start to get critical and you start to get judgmental. And the next thing you know, you're going backwards instead of forwards. I drive by certain people's houses sometimes and I just put my hand out and I say, Lord, I bless them. I bless them. No matter how hard they hurt me or wounded me, I bless them. I want them to be blessed and I just release them and I bless them. The devil will try to bring things back from the past and you just say, no, I bless them. I just bless them. That boss that just rubs you the wrong way and you want to just string them up by faith. You just say, Lord, I just bless him. I pray that you prosper him, make him successful. Do the opposite of what you feel and what the devil wants you to do. And I'm telling you, that's what James was talking about. Allowing the power of God within us to turn those things around by trusting God to do it for us. Just like King Asa said, you know, you're going to tell me what to do. I ain't going to be accountable to nobody. I'm the king. How dare you, prophet, come and tell me? Dangerous ground. Dangerous. Dangerous ground. But God is full of mercy, compassion, and grace. Father, thank you. Let's pray. You know, God, you know where you're at in your life. God knows. He's there waiting. And listen, it might not even be a person. It might be in your own lives, things that you're just, You get upset, you get really displeased, and it lingers in your life, and it's hard to let go. That's an offense. Just let it go. Just say, Lord, I need your grace in this situation. I need your help. I'm struggling with this. God knows what you have need of. Father, this morning we thank you for your powerful word. Lord, this is just as much for me as anybody else because, Lord, we have a bad devil and he wants to do nothing but kill, steal, and destroy. That's his whole game. But, Father, you came to give life and life more abundantly. And I'll take the abundant life. Father, I'll take the higher road. We'll take the higher road. Lord, we forgive those people that hurt us. We release them and we let them go and we bless them. We do not curse them, but we bless them and we release them, Lord, so healing can flow in our lives and blessings. So, Father, this morning, we just take authority over the enemy that would bring deception and lies to our hearts. And we trust your word and everything you've spoken to our hearts. Father, I lift up every person in this place and I just pray for them. And I ask you to bless them. Lord, help us to keep our hearts pure. Help us to keep our hearts clean. Help us to forgive, to release all those, and to move forward what you called us to do. Thank you, Lord. This is a church without offense, Lord. This is a church without offense. Lord, we refuse to be offended. We refuse to take it. We thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope this helped you.